Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for this day and that you are walking with us. We open our hearts to you to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read to you the equivalent text found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Amen. This is an incredible command from Jesus to us as believers. And I think it applies just as much now than it must have applied, 2,000 years ago, just about. That's amazing. Amazing that, I guess it's human nature, right? 2,000 years ago, it was the same idea. Be good to those who are good to you, but if they are mean to you, if they harm you, go ahead and do the same thing right back at them. And that's kind of our attitude and our mentality. And if we in our society did what Jesus is asking us to do here or commanding us to do here, I think people would say, you're foolish. You're stupid for doing what you're doing. You know, you're letting people take advantage of you. You are you're not standing up for yourself. You are, you're being foolish. You're not doing what you need to do to take care of yourself. But, but for us, as followers of Jesus, the driving force, the motivation for our life is not to appear wise or to appear strong or to win the approval of man and to show people that we are somehow wise and strong and we can stand up for ourselves and we can do what is necessary for us to succeed and win in life. Our motivation is to obey the Father and to please the Father. And if that's our motivation, then who cares? Who cares if the world thinks, oh, this is stupid, you know? You're not even standing up for yourself. You're letting people take advantage. You're letting people run all over you. What are you doing? But if, like verse 35 says, your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Ungrateful and evil men, and He is kind to them. And by doing the same, God's going to say, oh, you're just like me. You're just like me. You are my child. You are my daughter. You are my son. You are just like me. This is great. And if that's the reward that we're seeking, then who cares what the world will say? So the Sermon on the Mount, the whole Sermon on the Mount, is Jesus teaching us what life in the kingdom should look like. This is what our lives as followers of Jesus ought to look like. In Matthew 5, verse 20, if you go above the text that we read today, Jesus says this, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And right after that, he sets out to break down the oral tradition of the Pharisees, and he teaches us the original intended meaning of the Old Testament commands. He's revealing to us the heart behind the law. So, you know, he often will say, you have heard that it was said. This is what the Pharisees are teaching you. This is the oral tradition of the Pharisees. They're taking the Old Testament, interpreting it in their own way, and this is what you have been taught. But actually, this is the original intended meaning. This is the heart behind the law. And the standard that is set by Jesus' teaching is way above the standard that is set by the Pharisees. And as you read through this whole chapter and all the demands, the commands of living in the kingdom, life in the kingdom, what does it do for us? As we read through the Sermon on the Mount and as we begin to understand what is expected of us as followers of Christ and as children of God, I think it does at least two things for us. Number one is inspiration. It's inspiring. Right? What an amazing life it would be if everybody that is in the kingdom of God, every Christian, you know, the life in the church, if we all could live like this, you know, mourning, poor in spirit, humble, longing for righteousness and pure in heart and making peace and loving people unconditionally, forgiving people, all these things. Even though we can't live it, we can imagine what life would be like if we all lived like this, and it would be very beautiful. So it's inspiring. So the number one thing that it does as we read through this is inspiration. It's like, wow, what an amazing life this would be if we could do it. But the second thing that it does for us as we read through the Sermon on the Mount and begin to understand what is required of us is despair. It's the opposite. We're inspired, but we also have this experience of despair because we recognize, man, it is impossible to live this out, right? Daily, I wrote daily we fail, but probably every hour we fail. Hourly we fail and we succumb to temptation and we give in to our own flesh and our own sinful nature. You know, how could we ever? How could we ever live like this? How could we ever enter the kingdom of God? How could we ever live like followers of Christ and children of God? And I think this is actually one of the purposes of this teaching. It's to show us the righteousness that goes beyond the righteousness of the Pharisees is not something that we can attain on our own strength. It reveals our shortcomings, and it reveals our sinfulness, which is a necessary step for us to actually understand the gospel and to receive the gospel, the good news of His love and His grace and His forgiveness. When we understand the gospel and we receive the gospel, that is really the only way that we can actually live out the Sermon on the Mount. Because when we experience God's mercy, we become merciful, you know? When we experience the goodness of God and we fall in love, our hearts are transformed, and we fall in love with God, we develop a desire to be pure in heart because we long to see Him. We long to be with Him. When we understand the gravity of our sin and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we mourn our sinfulness and we long for righteousness, you know? When our heart has been transformed by the good news of God's grace and love, then, only then, can we actually start to live out the Sermon on the Mount and the commands of Jesus. So going back to our specific text for today, loving our enemies, right? You have heard it said, love your neighbors, hate your enemies, but no, love your enemies, right? Loving our enemies, doing good to those who do the opposite, doing good to those who do harm, praying for those and blessing those who do the opposite, blessing those who curse you, not only refraining from retaliating, but actively loving, right? Seeking out how to bless and how to serve and how to give to these people who do the very opposite thing to us. That's crazy. You know, it's like very simple to understand because it's very clear. Jesus is very clear and very forthright. But man, to live it out, it is very difficult. So I just wanted to encourage us this morning to think about someone. I don't think many people have enemies in the modern day. You know, children have enemies. I remember kids would say, oh, he's my enemy, so I don't play with him. That's like grade school, right? But we're adults. We don't really have enemies, but we have people that anger us, right? That are mean to us for no reason. It could even be a stranger on the MTR that give us a dirty look. How often have Mon and I just gotten like annoyed at someone that is getting annoyed at us and our children for being children, and we talk all these bad things? But what Jesus is saying is, as they do that, He wants us to bless that person and to love on that person. That taxi driver who's very mean to you, who is grumbling and saying all kinds of things, that's the person that Jesus is saying, no, as they do that, I want you to bless that person. You know, the same, I don't have the exact reference, but in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God or sons of the Father. That's the same thing. It's that the text is given today. Verse 35, Luke 6, verse 35. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. Right? As you As you bring peace to a situation, not because that person deserves peace, that person is causing all kinds of harm, non-peace, conflict. How do you bring peace to that situation? How do you make peace in that situation? By bringing peace. If you retaliate and you speak in the same tone and you raise your own voice, it's going to escalate. But as you speak with peace and you say, oh man, I'm so sorry. My children have bugged you. My children has bothered you, and I'm really sorry. And, you know, we're going to teach our kids, hope you're doing okay. Then it creates peace. We break the conflict, we break the anger, the hatred or whatever, and we bring peace. So just think about, you know, people like that in your life that have hurt you, that have sought your harm, that some of you might have enemies that are like that, some of you may not, but you have people just throughout the day that harm you, that are mean to you for no reason, that curse you for no reason. Okay. How do we do it? How do we practice what Jesus is commanding us to do here? I have four things. Number one, we have received the same love from Him, right? We have received the same unconditional love from Him, and that should inspire us. That should transform us, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were enemies of God, God looked upon us with mercy and He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. God showed the same kind of unconditional love and mercy to us when we were totally undeserving, when we were totally against God, wanting to do our own thing. God had mercy on us and He found us. So that's the number one thing that can change our hearts and motivate us and help us to obey this. Number two, the second thing is, God, our Heavenly Father, knows and understands what we're going through, right? God is not a calloused commander that is just saying, I don't care what anybody has done to you, this is what you need to do. Right? I don't care that this person has harmed your family. I don't care that this person has destroyed your childhood. I don't care what, you know, you just got to obey. You just got to love. You just got to have mercy. You just got to, you know, love your enemies, and that's it. But that's not what He is like. That's not the character of God, right? He understands, and He knows what you're going through, and He has compassion on us, right? Jesus understands because He suffered more than we could ever imagine, right? Jesus went through suffering more than we could imagine, and so He understands what we're going through, and we see the character of God in Scripture. He's a compassionate commander, not a calloused commander, right? He won't back down from the command to love our enemies, but He's not going to push us down, right? He's not going to just say, I don't care. This is what you have to do. This is the burden that is on your shoulders because you are my follower now, so you just have to obey, right? He inspires us. He lifts us up. He carries us. And He understands what we have gone through. And He cares about what has happened. And from that place, He gently says to us, I understand, but I want you to walk this out. I want you to forgive. I want you to love. I want you to give of yourself. The third thing that I think helps us obey this, walk this out, is understanding that God the Father loves that person. That person that has hurt you, that person that is hurting you, that person that is harming you, that person that is mean to you, that just boils you, your blood, you know. If we understand God's heart for that person. That when God sees that person, his heart towards them is the same heart that he has for you, of love and mercy and compassion and grace. Maybe that will help us to also have the same heart, right? Knowing God's heart for me, it changes me, it inspires me, it transforms me, because it's like, well, I don't deserve it, but he loves me. Knowing God's heart for them, for that person, if our heart's desire has been transformed by his love for me, and my soul's desire is to please the Father, and then the Father reveals to me, well, my heart for that person is actually good and kind and loving. How could we not, you know, how could we harbor the opposite heart towards that person than what the Father has? And so if we understand that God's heart for that person is good, then we can, I think that helps us to develop the same heart. And the last thing, number four, is God is not just commanding us and leaving us alone, right? But God is actively moving in our hearts and helping us, changing us, shaping us. Sanctification, right? The process of sanctification, the process of growing, the process of changing, the process of coming out of our sinful nature and becoming more and more like Christ. It's not done by our own strength. It is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit that is living in our hearts is the one that's going to strengthen us and give us the ability to walk this out. So we're not doing it on our own strength. Okay, so yeah, hard command, but let's go before God, you know, and let's ask for his help. Let's ask to have his heart for that person. Let's ask for a revelation of his heart for me, for us, so that we would be transformed and so that we can walk this out. So Sterling, if you could lead us in a song. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is your name. Worthy of our worship and worthy of our obedience. And I pray that you would help us live out the Sermon on the Mount and this command at the end of Matthew 5 to love our enemies and to do the opposite of those who are trying to hurt us and harm us. And I pray that you will speak to us and convict us, God, when we're not living it out. And I pray that you would lead us, Lord. Thank you. Let's pray for our church community. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's power over our friends, and let's pray for God's mercy, and let's pray for a miracle in their lives. Let's pray for those who are ill, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that their eyes would be opened to see the gospel. And let's pray for healing, physical healing. Let's pray for those who are going through various infirmities. Let's pray for healing for them. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision for them. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for SB Singapore. Pray for SPIN, SB Indonesia, and SPIL, SP Filipino. Let's pray that God would move in each of these churches. And let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim, Pastor Salamat, and Pastor Ernie, the pastors of our churches. Let's pray especially for Pastor Salamat as he is on his sabbatical. Let's pray that he would rest really well and that he would be able to come back refreshed and rejuvenated. Let's pray for these three different church plants. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, intercessor prayer team, the well and river. Let's pray for Matt, Harris, and Christine and Rachel as they lead these ministries. Let's pray for power. Let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray for healing and restoration. Let's pray for all the team members as well as they serve in these different capacities. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. Let's pray that through these different ministries, we would be able to be a blessing to Hong Kong. Let's pray for more people to sign up for these ministries. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's continue to pray for God's guidance over our church building and guidance on what we should do. Let's pray for a benefactor, and let's pray that the Vision Fund will continue to grow so that when we find the right place, we'll be able to right times. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our pregnant moms. Let's pray for protection, strength over them. And let's pray for the babies. Let's pray for God's protection and covering over our babies as well. Let's pray for the house church's meeting today. Let's pray for a really good house church times tonight as they discuss the retreat and pray for each other. Thank you, God. Thank you for being with us. We worship you today. We give you our lives today. Help us to walk in obedience to you. Help us to walk in intimacy with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. And see you tomorrow.